हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Northern Ocean, 8th Wave, Chapter 50, Further Analysis of Mixed Rasas. Verse 4862, page 81. Those knowledgeable of the scriptures concerning rasa understand other contrary rasas in the same way. Generally, this contradiction finally ends up as rasa-bhasa. Right. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami warns devotees to not commit such incompatibilities in their writings or in their dealings. The presence of such contradictory feelings is called rasa-bhasa. When there is rasa-bhasa in any book of Krishna consciousness, no learned scholar or devotee will accept it. Srila Jiva Goswami, the word, quote-unquote, generally, is used to indicate that some mixtures end up even lower than rasa-bhasa. They're even worse. Rasa-bhasa means they're bona fide things, but the mix is just not quite right. But it can get even worse. Like Karela juice, you know, cook down Karela juice as a topping on your rasgulla. That's worse.
Now, can we say that if we... discussing the last class about inductive deductive. If we mix that, when the inductive, when the deductive, it's too like rasa-bhasa.
It will, but I'm just saying here, because it's a matter of taste, we're talking about effectiveness there, inductive and deductive. Then the problem will is in some, when it's you're using the deductive, it'll be effective. The inductive, if we're somehow connecting it to Krishna, it will help us.
Yes.
But it won't. It has this limit to how far it will take us. At some point, you have to switch. Right. Is that 2863 to 64? However, the combination of two unfriendly rasas will not produce distaste under the following conditions. 1. Where one of the two conflicting rasas is negated by a statement. 2. Where two conflicting rasas are present through remembrance. 3. Where two rasas are compared. 4. Where a friendly or neutral ras intervenes between two conflicting rasas. 5. Where the vishayas or ashrayas of two conflicting rasas, one of which is the secondary rasa, are different. Like one may be about Krishna, one may be about the devotee. Srila Jiva Goswami. Referring to the first condition, the word bhadya here means suitable for being rejected. One of the conflicting rasas should be rejected because of indications in the description that it is proper to do so. It means the two can be combined because you're showing how one is rejected. When two conflicting rasas are described, but with indications that one of those rasas should be rejected as being unsuitable, distaste does not arise. So in other words, there's no distaste that, oh, how can you talk like this? It's like you're saying that this mixed with that, that's wrong, and so it can be rejected. No? In the phrase... Smaryamanantatayapya, when a conflicting rasa appears through memory. The word api means that it is possible, though it will produce distaste in some cases. Thus, in the midst of hasti ras, even a remembrance of karuna ras will produce distaste. The same possibility applies in statements where two rasas are compared as being similar. Thus, it is always improper to mix madhura rasa with vibhatsa, even in comparisons. Other cases can also be found. By mentioning api twice, thus putting conditions on both of those cases, and then adding cha, it should be understood that the cases mentioned in verse 64 also have exceptions. There might be of all of these that, but this one, it might work in these conditions. Does that make sense? Yeah, because there's always exceptions. You have a general rule, that's what's applied. And the exception is an exception. It proves the rule. Right? In the modern academic theory, if there's an exception, it removes the rule. But in the Veda, the exception shows that except for this, it's always the rule. Is that? Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's very hard to accept for general devotion at particular point.
Because they're so trained in the modern academic way. And conditioning. And it's also because the element is, we always want to be the controller, right? And so if I find a fault, that makes me the controller. I'm superior. What I find fault in, then I'm superior to that. Mm-hmm. So you have that aspect. So that's why even if it's not necessarily coming from an academic background, it'll come from that aspect. And then the academic just gives you an excuse. And, because they can feel even more, they're more proud than your general person. Like that. In most cases. Some cases not, but most cases are, because they have intelligence. There's something to be proud of.
Right? There's some taste.
Yeah, there's a taste there and everything like that. Yes.
Another difficulty seems to be that we've noticed, even without effort, the mind, when the teacher says something, the mind immediately goes
and defines
contradiction.
Yes, yes.
And even if it's not verbally spoken, it's just sit there and...
Yeah, so you can feel it in the atmosphere. Yeah. So that's why just by changing the audience, you change how you'll speak. Like you'd be speaking in one way, you add one person, it completely changes how you're talking. Because of that. Because they're thinking, they're putting out the vibes.
The Mahaprabhu spoke only with Ramananda Raya and Swarup Damodar.
Yes, yes.
Nobody was there. Govinda was hearing, but he wasn't like...
He wasn't participating. And as long as he didn't add any extra mood, it's all right, but as soon as that mood, then it's you got to leave. Like I remember, so many of the times, because I was a sannyasi servant, and so many times the big sannyasis, they might talk amongst themselves something, and they might be talking some latest GBC discussion, some political issue, and all that. And if I'm just there, either doing my work or because I'm just waiting, I'm just sitting on the side, but I'm neutral, I can sit there. But as soon as I tune into the discussion, immediately they'll turn to me and, what are you doing here? Out. I've seen it happen so many times. I could be sitting there for so many conversations and they'll never say anything because I'm not in my mind, thinking about it. I'm just hearing. But as soon as I tune in and, then immediately right that moment they're caught and thrown out. So it's very far out.
Mystery.
Yeah, because they can feel it in the vibe. You can feel it in the air. Bhavananda Prabhu always used to say, put it out in the ether. And then it starts to have an effect. You have an idea, put it out in the ether. And then eventually then it's been around and, oh no, it's not a new thing. Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah, so I was thinking about this. Oh yeah, I've heard like that. Even though you're the one that put it out.
It's originated in the spiritual world when Krishna was about to turn into Pauganda age, but Mama Yashoda, she wanted to protect him. She didn't want him to go into the fields.
Mm-hmm.
So he was just walking around Brajavasis when the gathering or some festivals and put it in the, like you say, in the ether. He was just saying, like, nobody says it, but everybody hears it, like, you know, Mother Yashoda doesn't let Krishna go into the fields, and then the Brajavasi would come and say, well, this is our dharma, why are you doing it? And then Krishna was watching for some time, then she agreed, apparently.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. They can't hear anything, right? They can. Oh, good. Good. Okay. Yeah. So the point is, the exception means, other than the exception, does it have any other application? Means there's the rule. You know. So if the rule is there and it always applies except in this exception or this group of exceptions, then that means other than those exceptions it applies. So unless you have this exception, and it's also stated, just like the rule is stated, the exceptions as a rule are stated, so it still follows the rules. But that's the problem. Is as long as it's not absolute. It's not that. No, the point is that absolute doesn't mean that it always works us in this case, and it's something else another case it does. You know, so it's just a matter of getting used to that. Yes.
Also, in the modern academy, if we take math or we take language or any subject, there are so many exceptions.
Yes.
Then it seems like it's not an exception anymore. But yeah. In the Vedic science, it's an exception, it's rare.
Yes.
So the whole thing, like you explained, the education is exception, and the rule, they're almost equal. That's why we go into exception and think, exception, that throws out the rule.
Yeah, but the exception establishes the rule, and it becomes an aspect of the rule. Yes. Okay. Because that's also because they don't know essence.
Yes.
Because in the Vedic, the rule is, as a general rule, is the essence. So it always works. Except in this particular case or that particular case. And so it's very scientific. Well, in the modern, there's a general idea. And then you have all these other...
It's not conclusive. Actually.
It's not conclusive. You know, sometimes they get closer, so it works a little better. But much of the time it's not. I remember when we were dealing with spelling rules for English, for the kids. So there's so many lists of spelling rules and all that. But so many of them, you could take two or three of them and put them together and explain one rule. You know, and then you have a more encompassing rule like that. And then you might have an exception. But the otherwise is, like you said, is that you have one rule and then all these other exceptions and they all seem equal, and it's like, you know, it's confusing. But it's not very exact. I can't remember what it is, like 30 rules or something like that, but when we went through it, you could actually present it as 19. So it was much more exact. But, you know, because they don't think that way in the deductive, they don't try to look for it that way. Because they can't give conclusion. So that's the thing, is they have to give a reason, but it can't be conclusive. So that's the, you know, your presentation can be conclusive. You know, it's very well presented, so it's a conclusive presentation, but it can't be that what you're presenting is conclusion. So the whole academy becomes very unstable because of these anomalies, that they're not actually looking for the absolute truth. And so their presentations have to be careful to not elude in any way an absolute. But if you say something contradictory to what they're saying, they'll say what they're saying is an absolute. You know, so that's the funny thing. It's there's a lot of strange things. But for us, we can explain it because it goes back to the conditioned nature of the living entity. I'm the controller and enjoyer. So naturally, it's going to have a basis, because you say, well, what's the cause of that? It always goes back to control and enjoy. Is that, you know. No, because in the same way is that you're either always an authority or you're never an authority. Not that they've said a statement someone else has brought up, what about this and that? Oh yeah, no, that's true, like that, and then you're still an authority. But in the modern academy, they bring that up, now your authority has been questioned. And they become an authority, rather than they're just a student who's noticed something that's said here and something there and putting it together and all that. So that's the thing, is everyone's trying to be the authority. Everyone's trying to be the controller. And so it's a fight. So without etiquette, you can't function. Is that, yeah.
And it's the same in Russia. At first, when you see a guru or superior, you make him as an icon. There's the same iconization. I don't know if
you can... Icon, yeah, well, it's like in the Eastern Orthodox,
yeah.
Then an icon is a picture, like you have a painting or something,
exactly.
Of Jesus. It's a deity.
Yes.
So in other words, they're saying make him a deity.
You put him like as God.
Yeah, or put him on a pedestal.
And then when you see there's some fault, then you demonize him.
Like that.
So it's this is how neophyte view the person.
Yeah.
They can't see the balance.
Yeah, and they can't see. They can't appreciate what's beyond the rule or what the purpose of the rule, because they only see the external. That's why then the standard etiquette that's followed, that's why everyone follows it. That's why the recommendation is even in the devotees, they follow the Varnashram rules. Because someone who is not on the level to understand spontaneous devotional service won't understand it. Right? Even just more maturity in it, they won't understand it. So they have to see the external rule. So you see sometimes disciples get so bewildered by the spiritual master doing something that they don't understand. And so then it's like it's like what you're saying, all or nothing. So either he is the absolute or he's just a nobody. There's they can't understand anything in between. So that means they can't understand an elevation. The point is, if the person is more advanced than you and he's instructing you, what's the problem? You know, it's just like it's not an uncommon thing in universities that, you know, the teacher will be a postgraduate, right? But the student's naturally an undergraduate. But it's not an uncommon thing that people are a year ahead of you. They're your tutor, right? So anybody, as long as they're ahead of you, they can be your tutor. You know, under the professor. So in the same way as Prabhupada's instructions are there, and as long as you're more advanced in them than someone else, you can give instruction in Prabhupada's instructions. But it's not something that's well thought out. It's there, but they don't think it's a standard thing. So it's the guru, he's either an uttamadhikari or he's nothing. So he can't be a madhyama. But the point is why the gradation? Because of instruction. Because you want to hear instruction on the liberated platform. Right? Because it's free from fault. So therefore, Prabhupada's instructions, the Acharya's instructions, are on that platform. So now if a madhyama then explains that, so you can get benefit and apply it in your life, how did you not get Uttama Adhikari instructions? So that's not appreciated by neophytes. Even though the neophyte can, by whatever little realization they have, give that to someone else, and they'll take up the devotional service and gain faith. So it works for them, but not for anybody else. So that's the difficulty. So that's why then the rules are there. And even though the Uttama Adhikari comes in the mentality of a Madhyama, he follows the rules like a neophyte. So that's for us why we use the Varnashram system. You can say, oh, we're beyond the rules. So why is it we're only beyond the rules in areas you say, but another area we're not beyond the rules? Does that make sense? You know. So that's the difficulty. You know, it's just like an example. I think it was like 68 when you had all that unrest from the anti-war kind of things. So the devotees were in New York, Harinam. You know, and you go to public places where you do Harinam. But if you want to have a, what do you call it? What do you call it? You know, where you're not agreeing with the particular local government.
Protest?
A protest, yes. So you do that in a public place. So therefore, us doing Harinam in a public place and someone doing a protest in a public place, sometimes they might coexist. We're there for one purpose, they're there for another. So at this one, so the temple, that was back before book distribution. You know, they might have had some magazines, but you just did it with the party. It all happened with the Harinam. And so everybody's out there, they're all like this. The police came out, and, you know, somehow or another, it went a bit south, and so then tear gas was shot. And so the devotees started to move, but one of the canisters fell close enough that one of the girls, she got affected and fainted. So one of the bigger-sized brahmacharis just picked her up, put her on his shoulder, and they all ran to the van and drove away. And so he just put her down in the van, and that there'll be nothing more thought or said. You know, she's a devotee. We have to all get to the van. Whoever's strong enough can pick her up, and that's it. And so no one brings it up. No one even thinks about it. Like, why is the brahmachari touching like this and that? Or that she has, oh, thank you so much. And no, that's just what you do. Right? And so it's an exception to the rule, but it matches the rule that devotees are protected and devotees do everything, you know, for Krishna. Right? But in the, let's say, contemporary context, this would be a big discussion. Yeah. You know, it'd be on video, they're showing this and that, all kinds of speculations. Oh, yeah. You know, so like that, yeah. And everybody have a different way of how you should carry, you know. Like that. Yeah, like that, how you do, you know, where they put it. Where did you put her in the van? Why did you put her in the back of the van? You know, why women are in the back? Why can't they be in the front? Why didn't you put her in the front? Because the drivers are driving. She's unconscious. She can't drive. So that's why we put her in the back. You know, so whatever it is. But it becomes a whole issue. So that's why then generally all these rules are followed. And then now and again, if there's an exception, then you can kind of get away with it. Like that. So that's why that's the general rule. That's why then these things are introduced. One is that we see, as Ramananda Roy explained, these lower levels of bhakti then are performed in context of varnashram. Right? Doing your duties to please Krishna, then doing your duty, giving the result of your duties to please Krishna, then being detached from the aspects, you know, like that, taking sannyas and doing like this, or being in that kind of mood like that, then, you know, being detached from material energy. So all these things are there. So only when it gets to pure devotion, then it's not. So Prabhupada starts talking there. The others are introduced. But it's not, Prabhupada didn't give us from that lower one on up. He gave us from the point of pure devotion on up. And the other ones are naturally in place. Because Ramananda Rai, and that they're talking the topmost discussions, but they're considering Varnashram. You know, Ramananda Rai, he's considering the Shudra, Lord Chaitanya is a sannyasi, then you have the Brahmins, you know, and the servants, and so who can discuss what, you know, or we discussed before, who it can say in front of who. So it has to be, you can't discuss these things, they have to not be there. Then how is it he's a shudra is instructing a sannyasi, you know? And then, you know, so they have to deal with all these different things. So they're still following. But the point is it's all about how it's pleasing to Krishna. So you take that central point of pure devotion, and then you using those others, you try to move forward, you know, as is appropriate. Set. Yes.
Another difficulty seems to be that when neophytes read the Ramananda Samvad,
right,
then from the beginning there's Varnashram mentions and then the instructions from the Gita. But yeah. Then Mahaprabhu, it appears as if he says, well, Gita is all external, whatever, mm-hmm. because he starts when Brahma says, you know, in the Bhagavatam, then he says, yeah, that's kind of okay. Mm-hmm. And then the bliss continues. Mm-hmm. So it seems from an external point of view that the Gita instructions are not relevant.
Yes, that's because people have such great impressions of themselves. You know, but the point is what about the instruction that even an Uttapanikari thinks he's like a neophyte and unqualified? They're not applying that. Because if that was there, then of course these apply to us. Yeah. So that's the difficulty. No, Lord Chaitanya rejects Varnashram. He doesn't reject Varnashram. He rejects that position as a goal, as the ultimate goal. You know? That would be like, let's say, okay, what's the ultimate goal in eating? Right? So then we say, okay, to find a nice spot in which it would be compatible to eat. Then you go, well, that's external. Okay, then to set up a very nice arrangement for eating. You know? Then also external. Let's say, okay, then in setting up the arrangement, you have all those supporting different things, condiments and all those things, and equipments for serving and all that kind of things, and all that arranged. You know, like this, okay? That's still external. What about the aspect of, you know, you have all those arrangements, and also then, you know, the lighting, and then, you know, everything else, you know, you see that the atmosphere is very conducive. Also external. Okay, let's say we bring something to eat. Okay, now we start the discussion. So that's in pure devotion. Right? You know, so you start there, and then you start going, okay, then you eat, then you combine, then this, and, you know, then it's just like that. But the ultimate point is the taste you're getting, you know. Oh, you're eating in an aristocratic way, you know, following the etiquettes. Okay, nice, but, you know, the point is it's the taste. And then the combinations of the taste, what you can mix with what, and this and that, and what you eat in what order. You know, but it's the taste that you're doing. You're eating it in order, okay, so now we're getting refined. Now you know how to combine. That's refined. But what's beyond that? It's the taste. So if you say, so therefore, what's the ultimate goal of eating? It's the taste. Does that make sense? So that's what's going on. So then, here's that then foolishly they're saying, oh, just see, you know, making a nice arrangement, this and that, then for that, that's all bogus. You just get food and sit down and eat, you know. We bring the bucket, we get out that big, huge, you know, that spoon, that ladle for soup, and just start at it, yeah, you know. Yeah, just sit around. But there's only one spoon, so whoever's the senior most gets the spoon, everyone else just digs in with their hands. Because it's one of those buckets like that, after a while you can't get, so the guy who's left, he has to stick his head in there and try to eat it off the bottom. Yeah. But yeah, brahmacharis, yeah, you know, so that kind of thing. Yeah, something like the Kleganes, right? You know,
right?
The Kleganes.
The games.
Yeah.
Russians also use that system, but each had a spoon and a big pot.
Okay.
And the senior person was controlling everybody. So if you put your spoon too many times in a certain period of time into the pot, you would get the spoon on your hand.
and you hit like this, no? Like that, so it gives the maximum, like, noise. And
yeah, it makes a sound.
Yeah.
Especially empty hand.
Yes, yes. Okay, yeah, because he's eating too quick. Okay. You have to maintain the conversation. See this, even here in this there's still etiquette, right? Yeah, there's still culture. Okay, Thus, in combining Vatsala Rasa with an enemy Rasa, even if there are hundreds of intervening Rasas, the distaste cannot be removed. Some persons show the harmony of a devotee's particular Rasa with some other contrary Rasa because the Vishaya or Ashraya are different and consider the combination excellent. However, that particular devotee may still find that combination of his cherished Rasa with a contrary Rasa distasteful, even though the Ashraya and Vishaya of the two tastes are different. Though distaste is not acknowledged by both parties. So the point is that there may be these conditions you might get, but it's not necessarily both parties. One party may find distaste, one party may not. And so in other words, these are generally where it's not used. You know, even an example, you try to keep two things that are similar and things like that. You know? So, 4865. In the following description, because otherwise then what do we do? We'll take, oh, we can do it in these things. But the point before was that's how it's mixed. These are exceptions. These aren't the standard. So to avoid that this will become a standard, he still points out how you have to be very careful. Right? Because somebody might find it okay, somebody not. So, yes, it could be mixed, but it's not necessarily everybody will appreciate. Yes?
There's one pastime explaining how subtle it is, the rasa bas aspect. When a certain Bengali Vaishnava comes into assembly of Lord Chaitanya's associates, and Sri Damodar Goswami, he just sits on the side, and he reads from his own book, that right. Vaishnava, and everybody goes into ecstasy. Yes, glorifying and falling upon, it's right in CC.
Yes, yes.
And then Swarup Damodar Goswami, he just stands up and walks off. He says, "That's Rasa Bhava." But none of the others can actually see the subtleties of how the things that shouldn't be mixed are mixed.
Yes.
So he gets no taste for that. Therefore, he doesn't give it to Lord Chaitanya.
Yes.
Because he's secretary for that purpose.
Yes, yes. Yes. So it's very, very nice. Because here, maybe seeing, but Jiva Goswami seems to be contradicting what, but Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami just mentioned, these are the things, the way they are, this is how you continue with the mix, and you have to be careful. But under these conditions, it says, however, will not produce under the following conditions. But the point is it also depends on, you know, the things, how it's presented, what's the proportion, you know, the anga angi, all these different things like that, and who's the audience, what is their taste, then it may or may not. But the point is that since it's about Krishna, then you want to avoid it, you know. So you have to be very, very careful. So we'll just do things that the Acharya says. 4865. In the following description, the conflicting rasa, shanta, is negated from Vidagdha Madhava. It's negated, and then it's quoted from Vidagdha Madhava. Okay. The sage desires to withdraw his mind from sense objects and fix it just for a moment on Krishna. But this young girl desires to withdraw her mind from that same Krishna and fix it upon sense objects. The yogi is eager to realize him in the heart, even for a second. But this foolish girl desires to remove him from her heart completely. Srila Jiva Goswami. The first half of the verse presents the determination of the sage and the young girl. The second half of the verse presents the determination of a yogi and the young girl. The superiority of the young girl is clear, right? Because you know the context. So here's where our two rasas are compared, right? So it can be used, but it has to be very, very. It has to be very obvious, like that. 4866. In the above verse, as a result of describing the superior nature of Madhura Rasa, Shanta Rasa is negated. Srila Prabhupada. In the Vidagdha Madhava, second act, verse 17, Purnamasi tells Nandimukhi, go, just see how wonderful it is. Great sages meditate upon Krishna after being relieved from all material transactions. and with great difficulty, they try to situate Krishna in their hearts. And opposed to this, this young girl is trying to withdraw her mind from Krishna so that she can apply it in the material activities of sense gratification. What a regrettable thing it is that this girl is trying to drive away from her heart the same Krishna who is sought after by great sages through severe austerities and perseverance. End quote. Although in this statement there are contradictory mellows of ecstatic devotion, the result is not incompatible because the conjugal love is so elevated that it is defeating all other varieties of mellows. Srila Jiva Goswami comments on this connection that such a loving state of mind is not possible for all. It is only possible in the case of the gopis of Vrindavan. Right, so it's just showing. It's negating the one over the other. So here, these two don't go together, right? The Shantarasa and the Madhurarasa, they were examples given. But here, the comparison between the two is not incompatible because it just brings out the flavor of the conjugal. Right, because it's two different ones compared. While the other one, they were combined. So it is a mixture of rasas, you know, being explained at the same time. But in this explanation, it still works. Srila Jiva Goswami. In the previous verse, Purnamasi, who is the assistant in the confidential affairs of Radha and Madhava, and also a Tapasvini, previously performing great austerities, appreciates both rasas. Shanta rasa is expressed in accordance with the description of the sage. Madhura rasa is expressed in accordance with the description of Radha, the young girl. Though the sage and yogi attempt to engage their minds in Krishna by the power of yoga, there is no effect. Radha, out of fear of transgressing Dharma, by trying to prevent her mind from thinking of Krishna, only thinks of him more. Right? She wants to be able to do her household duties and all that, but she can't, because she's always thinking of Krishna. Thus, the position of sage and yogi is lowered, and Radha's position is clearly elevated. However, because of the nature of the speaker, Purnamasi, no fault of distaste arises. But this is not always the case. Right? So because Purnamasi, being a Tapasvini, then being from that background, then she can appreciate the difference. Wow, this page is so much working for this, and Radha's position is so much higher. But it might be in other cases that why you would compare like this. You know, so in other contexts, it might not work, this comparison. So that's the point, is these they will not produce distaste, but you still have to, these are general conditions, but within that, there's still exceptions, right? So in other words, you have the rule, you have the exception, but even within the exception, there are exceptions when you can't apply the exception. Because why? The main rule still stands. So, yeah. 4867. Memories producing two conflicting rasas, hasya and karuna. He used to make us laugh by comical pastimes, but today, being pulled away by kaliya and suffering and pain, he is making us lament. Srila Prabhupada. There are many other instances of contradictory mellows where there is no perverted experience of rasa bas. Right, so in other words, they don't become perverted. Once, some minor demigod of the heavenly planets remarked, Krishna, whose joking words are once the source of so much laughter for the residents of Braja, has now been attacked by the serpent king, Kaliya, and he has become the object of everyone's overwhelming lamentation. End quote. In this instance, there is a mixture of laughter and compassion, but there is no incompatibility, by both of these rasas, the loving affection for Krishna is increased. So you're remembering the one, and then you're remembering the other. So they're not mixed, but you have that comparison through remembrance, and then both of them then remind you of Krishna. Right? Srila Jiva Goswami. These are the words of some lesser devatas. Since the words do not convey that they have intense affectionate natures. The inhabitants of Braja, however, display intense affection. The use of words such as vaihasika, comical, is not fitting for the inhabitants of Braja. These are not the words of Shiva or Brahma, however, for they are in knowledge of the position of the Lord. So, for one position, it works. But for the others, they wouldn't use that, because why would you get into that? This is the thing that's being discussed now. You know? It'd just be like Rasa Bas. That means where it technically is not a problem, but it can be a problem. Somebody, some lady has insulted the wife. So the husband's trying to support the wife by don't lament because this other person's not worth it. Right? But it's two different rasas. So it could have an effect if there's some other background that has that intellectual aspect of looking at it. It's been discussed before. And so it has a position to go to. Then you could say, oh yeah, that's right. That's, you know, because it's been discussed. So maybe later you could use it. But if you use the beginning, you could end up with the aspect of, oh, you're supporting that other lady. Or you don't understand my position and aren't supporting me. You know, or you're just caring about yourself. You know, you just don't want to go through all the trouble. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the thing, is that it can work, but it can also not work, depending on what it is. So here, because the taste is so intense, they'll never talk about how, oh, before we used to do this and that, and now we have this. The point is that it shows lesser who do not convey that they have intensely affectionate natures. You're saying even Brahma and Shiva, they wouldn't, because they're so absorbed in Krishna that now it's in this state, they'll only taste that taste. It won't be mixed. But someone of a lower taste might. You know, just like Prabhu had given the example of that one Bengali Vaishnav came and read his poem. And everybody's in ecstasy because of the level that they're functioning at. And for them, it might inspire them in Krishna consciousness. But at a higher level, we see Sarup Damodar says, no, these can't mix. Because the point is you want it to go to Lord Chaitanya. And so therefore it can't be done. At the same time, you say, okay, we'll only publish this for the devotees in general, but then how will they come up to that top if they have experienced this? Yes?
He even points out that, I think it was Brahmananda Puri who was leaving, you are a coward boy, and you are very, what do you say, kind and like accommodating for everyone. So you are cool, like the coward boys, when they are out, okay, if somebody says something, it's okay like that. But when it comes to Madhu, it's like...
Yes, yes. On one level it can be. So it might be that the followers of Nityananda Prabhu, they were very much appreciated it, or the parental, some other, but in the Madhura, then it wouldn't. So Lord Chaitanya's come to taste Radharani's mood. It doesn't mean that he doesn't have these relationships with everybody else. But, you know, if they're giving some more confidential kind of thing, then it has to match that mood. And so Lord Chaitanya is not going to sit in the Gambhira and read that. You know, so that makes sense. So it may have its place, but otherwise, no. Four, eight, 68. Conflicting rasas used in comparisons. O Radha, you appear to have realized Brahman, for you have given up the subtle body. You are devoid of seeing difference, devoid of coverings of material nature, and full of joy. Srila Prabhupada. Or you may repose with the 16 varieties of conjugal love. You are, or? What is that, or?
Another reading? Another reading?
Is it like that? Is that from the original? Or is that from, this was translated in Oregon? Or this was another something? What did you say? Another reason? Another meaning or something like that? Or yeah. Just check that it's there. If it is, then nice. Then it's probably is giving another example. Or you are opposed with the 16 varieties of conjugal love. You are confirmed by direct perception, since you are not concealed by the creepers, and you are the personification of bliss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. This verse has two meanings. Vishranta means attaining a relaxed state. Shodashakala means accomplishments in the arts of love. Thus, Radha is described as being accomplished in the arts of love in a relaxed way. The other meaning of Vishranta is not making efforts. Shodashakala means the subtle body made of 16 parts. Thus, the phrase means giving up the subtle body. Nirvikalpa, without doubt, means discerned very well by perception. It also means being without duality. The reason Radha is discerned well is that she is not hidden by creepers or other objects. Niravritihi. It also means devoid of the material gunas. So she's not hidden by the gunas. Right? You know, that's one of the things of that's mentioned about Adam and Eve. They show up one day, you know, with clothes. And God says, what's going on here? But it's explained that that doesn't mean actual clothes. It means that now they're covering themselves with upadis. And because of that, therefore, then now they're in material consciousness.
Right. Huh? The Bible says that they were trying to cover with the fig leaves.
Yes.
Not like.
Yes, yes. Dress. But yeah, but I'm meaning that the explanation of that is that it's upadis, and so now they were thinking like those in the material platform, so they weren't qualified to remain with God. Huh? Okay. It also means devoid of material gunas, right? She's not hidden by creepers, so it means she's out in the open, but it also means she's not hidden by any material gunas. Brahma Vidya means realization of Brahman. A description such as this, filled with a joking mood, is conducive for rasa, even though Shanta and Madhura rasa are enemies. Thus, it is used as an example. Instead of Brahma Vidyeva, sometimes Mukti Shira Eva, wealth of liberation, is seen. But that verse is rejected. Right? So in other words, someone's mentioning about how she's situated like this. But it can be seen as, the explanation is through the Brahma Vidya. And that, but it's actually meaning the other one. Okay. So in this way, they can be used. 4869, another example. Radha is like Shanta Ras. She makes me sleepless. She makes my eyes unblinking. She makes me live in a mountain case. Case or cave? Very big case, so it's the mountain case, or it's the company mountain, so that, you know, it's in that case, it's a very rugged case. Okay, she makes me live in a mountain cave, absorbed in meditation. Srila Prabhupada. Srimati Radharani was once told that although she has stopped all activities, she was still the supreme source of inspiration for all kinds of devotional service. The statement says, "My dear Radharani, in separation from Krishna, you are now as still as the most beautiful tree, whose gracefulness is not blocked by any covering of leaves. Your tranquil mood makes you appear to be completely merged in Brahman realization. In this example, there is a mixture of conjugal love and neutral love, but the conjugal love has surpassed everything. Actually, Brahman realization is only a stunted existence." There is the following statement by Krishna himself. "Srimati Radharani has become peace personified for me. Because of her, I now go without sleep." Right? Because these yogis, they don't sleep, they don't anything. "I stare constantly without blinking my eyes, and I am always in a meditative mood. Because of her, I have even made my home in the cave of a mountain." This is an example of conjugal love mixed with neutral love, but there is no incompatibility. Yes?
The third one is the direct words, it's like people feel about what we instruct. That R is the part of the direct words. The two meanings is given direct. Direct words meanings given by Rupa Goswami.
Okay. Like that.
Because Prabhupada's just continuation from the...
Okay, so then or should be on the other side, no? There shouldn't be the semicolon. So it's just be a regular or, comma, you repose with the 16th. Mm-hmm. Or you can just put
the middle R,
the small R, then maybe it'll work. Okay. Nice. 4870. Intervention of one rasa between two conflicting rasas. Right? Who are you? I am a person endowed with Shanta Rati. Why are you floating in the sky? In order to see the Param Brahma, why have your eyes become so large? O Ramba, my heart has somehow become agitated by his astonishing beauty. I have now fallen in love. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, the following is a conversation consisting of questions put before Ramba, a celebrated beautiful woman, and her corresponding answers. Ramba was asked, "My dear Ramba, who are you?" She answered, "I am peace personified." Question, "Then why are you in the sky?" Answer, "I am in the sky to experience the Supreme Absolute Truth." Question, "Then why are you staring?" Right? Answer, "Just to look at the supreme beauty of the Absolute Truth." Question, "And why do you appear to be disturbed in mind?" Answer, "Because Cupid is active." Right? So here is the mixing of these things. But it doesn't. In the above example, also there is no perverted representation of mellows, because on the whole, the ecstasy of conjugal love has exceeded the neutral position of devotional love. So when you have the two as the angi-anga, then there has to be such a significant difference, like in a comparison, that then it can work. But if they're like seen as almost, you know, one's major, one's secondary, like this, it's very close, then it won't work. Like you saw the ones before, as you could reverse it either way, it was so close in the previous examples. So of the anga angi. So here it's that there's a significant difference. So you understand it's about the conjugal, but it's using a metaphor of something that's incompatible, seemingly incompatible in this case. Right? Srila Jiva Goswami. The Shanta Rati of the woman is covered by astonishment at Krishna's beauty. This allowed Mathura Rati to appear. So by the astonishment rasa, right? So the Shanta Rati is there, but astonishment came in between these two things, and then therefore it can work. You know, that's how you have two persons that are opposed, and a neutral person comes in. And then from that, then you can get it to work. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like, how you say? Sat Karyavad. Right? It's there in the past times, therefore we have it here. Right? The direct contact of Shanta Rati with Madhura Rati would create distaste, but by the intervention of Adbhuta Rasa, the combination is not forbidden. Right? So here, these ones, it means it's not forbidden. It doesn't mean, yeah, it's good and it's great. It means it's not forbidden. So there might be a case where it's used, but it wouldn't be your standard option. Direct contact of Shanta and Madhura Rasa is forbidden. The same rule should be applied in other cases, right? So he means all the other forms, right? There's the five different forms. This is how it works. So in this example, then, is very nicely stated in that. And so you understand for the four others, it's the same, like that. It's not forbidden if it's done right. It's the obviousness of which is the angi is very clear. Then it can give it's a very unique way of presenting it. So you'll see a lot of times in also your modern academic way of thinking in that. Then because it's about options of ways of thinking, then somebody you'll say something and somebody will go, oh, but you could also think of it like this, but it doesn't match the tastes. It's an intellectual thing, but because they're putting it as an almost like an equal, or as another alternative, or it could be, you know, like that. So there's no taste. But if you have to have that difference, then you can tell that then it just adds to the taste. Does that make sense? It's a very common thing, you know. It's like, you know, you could think of it like this, or you could think of it like that, but these things don't match because there is a particular flavor. There's a particular relationship. So, as you see, is that the lower you go in realization, the more they don't mind mixing things. Right? And the higher you go, then the more careful they are about the mixing. Is that... Yeah. 4871. This came in the side. Yeah, you already found it? Okay. Conflicting rasas concerning different objects. Madhura rasa for Krishna, bibhatsa for common men. So this is... Okay. This is the fifth one. From the 10th canto. A woman who fails to relish the fragrance of honey of your lotus feet becomes totally befooled, and thus she accepts as her husband or lover a living corpse covered with skin, whiskers, nails, head hair, and body hair, and filled with flesh, bone, blood, parasites, feces, mucus, bile, and air. Had to throw in the parasites, right? And she read Bhagavatam 10:60:45. Srila Prabhupada. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 16th chapter, verse 45. So this is on the principle for the Vishraya and Ashrayas of two conflicting rasas, but they're different. Right? Because the one, the conjugal, it's Krishna, but the husband, then it's not. It's a different. Srila Prabhupada. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 16th chapter, verse 45, Rukmini Devi says, "My dear husband, a woman who has no taste for the transcendental pleasure available from your personal contact must be inclined to accept as her husband someone who is externally a combination of mustache, beard, body hairs, fingernails, and some head hair. And within..." So that's the outside. "And within him there's mucus, bones, blood, intestinal worms, stools, mucus, bile, and similar things. Actually, such a husband is only a dead body, but due to being attracted to your transcendental form, a woman will have to accept this combination of stools and urine for her husband." End quote. The statements which list the ingredients of material body is not a perverted mellow in transcendental realization, because it shows correct discrimination between matter and spirit. Right? Because the Ashraya and the Visha are different here. Right? 4872. Madhura rasa towards Radha and Madhura rasa towards Radha and Bibhatsa rasa Rasa towards the moon and blue lotus from Vidagdha Madhava. "O friend, as long as my eyes are absorbed in seeing the splendid beautiful of Radha's face," and I guess beauty, I think. Yeah. "O friend, as long as my eyes are absorbed in seeing the splendid beauty of Radha's face and her charming eyes, on remembering the moon and the blue lotus, my mouth curls in disgust." Right? Because it's different here. In the Vidagdha Madhava, second act, verse 31, Krishna tells his friend, "My dear friend, what a wonderful thing it is that since I have seen the beautiful lotus eyes of Srimati Radharani, I have developed a tendency to spit on the moon and the lotus flower. This is an example of conjugal love mixed with ghastliness, but there's no incompatibility." Srila Jiva Goswami. Smaram, here, niya, means remembering, and remembering those things, I show disgust. If two verbs have the same subject and the first action occurs previously, the first verb can be repeated twice to express repeated action, with the ending Am, Namul, footnote 30, Panini 3422, just in case. Yeah. So remembering that, so you're showing these two things, and so you can put them together, and then it works, and then, yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.